fish for water for her thirsty son, the ground suddenly gushed with a spring from under the feet of little Ishmael. This is the holy well of Zamzam, from pilgrims drink till this day. When Ishmael had entered his teens, Abraham returned to Mecca, where he was ordered by God to sacrifice his firstborn son. The devout Abraham told his dream to Ishmael, who told the doting father to carry out God's commandment without any hesitation. Ayah 102 of Surah Safat informs us in this regard, "Father, do whatever you have been commanded. If Allah wishes, you will find me to be patient." As we said earlier, Abraham and Ishmael both emerged victorious from this divine tribulation without the least harm, thereby proving the lofty degree of their faith to all subsequent generations. God rewarded both father and son and ordered them to rebuild the holy Kaabah, which was lying in ruins since the great deluge of the days of Prophet Noah. After completing this mission, God ordered them to invite mankind to perform pilgrimage. In the wilderness of Mecca, Abraham made the call that reverberated through hills and valleys. Till this day, pilgrims from all over the world flock to the Kaabah for the monotheistic Hajj that was revived by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Thus, in Ayahs 109, and 110 of Surah Safat, God says of his devoted servant, "Peace unto Abraham, thus do we reward the virtuous." Happy Eid al-Adha for the Muslim world, as well as sincere tributes to Zebhen Azim, or the Great Sacrifice, that is, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, through whom God Almighty ransomed Prophet Ishmael after having tested the firm faith of Prophet Abraham. And salutations to the souls of the martyrs of the Mena tragedy of 4 years ago, when because of the mismanagement of the Saudi regime, over 7,000 pilgrims, including some 500 Iranians, lost their lives.
Eid al-Adha, or Feast of the Sacrifice, is a major Islamic holiday celebrating the willingness of Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, to sacrifice his firstborn son Ishmael as an act of obedience to God's command. We here at Arabi English Radio congratulate all our Muslim listeners on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, the Feast of Sacrifice. Eid Mubarak.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. I'm here in the studio with my darling sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my more dear sister and friend, Sister Zaina.
We're discussing some really important, fascinating, and helpful points and hacks regarding pre-pregnancy preps, problems and issues both men and women face regarding their reproductive systems and private parts. We're focusing specifically these last few episodes on problems and illnesses men could be afflicted with, and Islamic and traditional, often homemade, easy, over-the-counter remedies that we can try out, inshallah ta'ala, to solve these problems. We've been discussing impotency on Muslim Lady for the last few episodes, and it's important to talk about it because, yeah. Well, you know, a Muslim lady...
These days, many men have this problem of impotency. We talked about points about the man's reproductive system, infections, and psychological issues, spiritual issues that men have to take into consideration. We're in the program of Muslim Lady, but as we said, a woman needs a partner, a healthy partner, in order to have a healthy offspring.
Right.
The health issues of a man is as important as the health issues of a woman.
Definitely.
We talked about problems of impotency in men. One very important factor which leads to men's infertility is the problem of mumps, you know, the sickness of mumps. So mumps is a viral infection that primarily affects the salivary glands that are located near your ears. If boys are inflicted with this kind of
infection.
Disease or infection, parents have to be extra careful because the temperature of the testicles rise, and this will lead somehow
long-term
to their
problems.
Long-term infertility problems in men.
Right.
Because too much heat or temperature kills the sperms, right? And you have to be very careful. Or any kind of damage to the testicles.
Naturally.
Yeah.
It will damage the system.
Yeah, damage the whole reproductive system in men. So you guys have to be very careful, right? According to medicine, even to medicine, it's been medically proven that men who wear tight underwears or tight pants, it creates problems in the reproductive system, in the reproductive organ, in their sperm production. Several jobs or occupations, such as drivers, people who work in mines, in humid places, in very hot places, they will have to be very careful because they are more confronting, more prone to
these ailments and problems.
Yeah. One more point, too much cigarettes, smoking.
Nicotine
would also lead in infertility in men. We have almost completed the topic on men's reproductive system problems and solutions to them. And inshallah, up next we're going to talk about women's reproductive system. And also, inshallah, we'll be talking about sources that we've used. We are using various sources in these series of programs, one of which is the book written by a lady called Zobeide Khodai.
Mm-hmm.
She has several volumes of books on traditional medicine. One of them is, Oh God, How Can I Have a Healthy and Virtuous Child? The other source that is available is The Green Pharmacy by James A. Duke. The other very important source is the Book of Qanun of Avicenna.
Mm.
I don't know how they translate it in English.
Right.
So these are three very good sources that are used for our programs.
We're going to be talking about how women can have proper self-care routine in order to take care of their reproductive systems and prepare themselves for conception in order to have sound, healthy, intelligent babies. And of course, since we discussed certain home, simple, off-the-counter remedies for men and their specific ailments, we're probably going to be discussing those topics from this point onward as well.
Because the uterus of a woman is only a couple of grams.
Right.
And then during the process of pregnancy,
it becomes huge.
It becomes huge and has to be able to hold up to 3, 4, 5 kilogram baby.
Or even more for those who have triplets, exactly, quadruplets.
Right. Specifically in the 10 weeks of pregnancy. So she will have to have a very healthy body, particularly taking into consideration the fact that when women have some deficiencies, like vitamin deficiency, iron deficiency, the baby doesn't wait.
Yeah, he just eats whatever's available.
Exactly. It takes from your savings, from your reserves of body. For example, if you don't have enough calcium in your body, the after pregnancy, your teeth are all rotten.
You have aches in your bones,
exactly,
in your joints.
So it's very important that if you want to be a happy woman, healthy woman, and mother, and wife,
right. You
have to be extra careful with your self-care, with your nutrition, with your diet. And don't take it as something that, it will just happen and, my body will provide for it. You will have to plan. You will have to eat based on a specific routine and mindful
with awareness,
diet.
Right, definitely. And especially because as women, we go through that process of our body literally just sheds itself of all its resources once a month. Naturally, I haven't met a single woman who didn't have, by default, iron deficiencies or calcium deficiencies or some sort of vitamin B deficiency, because it's going to happen to us either way. And if we're not extra careful in our diet and, like you said, our self-care, once we get to that point in our lives where we want to bring life to this world, it's like we have to compromise, right? Either I won't be able to give the best and the fullest to that new life, or I'm going to put my life at risk.
Exactly. And sometimes you have to be careful not to give birth to a child with physical problems.
Yeah.
Some lack of vitamins and supplements in your body will lead to a baby with a lot of
deformities and handicaps,
right?
Yeah.
So these are very, very important. So the topic of nutrition and self-care is even more important and more significant when it comes to a woman, as she's carrying another human being, another life. She's the source of growth of a totally new creation, mm-hmm, inside her body. So she has to be extra careful of this, this extra living creature that is going to live in your body for 280 single days. And when you go to the Quran, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. And then we put that nutfa, or that embryo, or that new creation, that new life, in a secure resting place, which is the body of a woman.
Beautiful. It's like our first home. All that and much more here on Muslim Ladies. Stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Thank you for joining us again on Muslim Lady. I am here in the studio with my darling sister, Sister Razia Shamili. It's so miraculous the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed the woman's body to produce an organ. It creates this whole new organ to house that baby inside itself and protect it and shield it and nurture it and raise it till it reaches that
full growth.
Yeah, full growth, and it's ready to come into this world. It's so mind-blowing. So imagine the care and the awareness you have to put into creating a whole new organ in order to house a whole new life.
Creation, exactly. And it's interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guarded it in, you know, because it's been surrounded by the
other organs,
the ribs,
right,
and other organs.
Yeah.
It's an internal organ, again, surrounded by other helping soldiers in order to keep that guest safe for 280 days, right? These are just, when you pay attention to all these complications, intricacies, to these details, they just blow your mind up, right?
They really do.
So the most important organ in a woman's body in the reproduction of a child, one of them is the uterus.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the fallopian tube,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the ovaries.
Yeah.
So these are three main key organs that
are defined as reproductive organs.
Exactly. And when you're talking about the uterus, you're talking about a kind of pear-shaped small organ that only is 4 to 5 centimeters long and weighs about 80 grams, not even 100 grams. The interesting thing is that it's hanging. It's not in a fixed place in the body of a woman.
Right.
It's hanging through two tubes, the fallopian tubes.
Uh-huh.
So it has the ability to move a little bit.
Right.
And it's not fixed in its place, right? And something that a lot of girls are dealing with, just as we have the problem of impotency in men, we have the problem of irregular menstrual cycles in girls and women, which also causes infertility. And or they are problems in the course of, you know, they create problems in the pregnancy, like, of a woman.
And create excessive frustration.
Exactly.
Especially for Muslim ladies, the whole calculating process, when can I shower, when can I pray?
Exactly.
Why am I late? Why is it abnormal again?
Exactly. So it's really, all these are said to bring to your attention the fact that how you can help your body to have a healthier body, the way your lifestyle is, what you eat,
your state of mind
and your spiritual state are all effective factors in the health of this organ, specifically
and vice
the uterus.
Versa. And vice versa. I mean, well, like when this organ contracts any sort of illnesses, you see it. You see how much it messes a woman up.
Exactly.
Or like
the hormones. And
yeah,
everything.
The hormones that kick up a storm, or when a woman is close to her menopause, and it's basically when this specific organ is no longer of use, she goes through this whole whirlpool of changes and things that we would consider as abnormalities, but it's just a natural part of her life now. And
that's why we have a gynecologist.
Yeah, women, exactly.
There's a specific doctor women need for their sexual organ system,
reproductive
system, right? Which men don't.
Mm.
All because of the complications and sensitivity of a woman's body is more than a man's body.
Definitely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the point that I wanted to say.
Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of Muslim Lady. We've been talking about certain problems. We haven't exactly delved into it in depth, but we completed our discussion regarding males' impotency, and we started upon certain reproductive system illnesses that women could contract and the complications it would create in the long term and in the reproduction process. Inshallah ta'ala, in further episodes of the show, we'll be discussing these topics furthermore. Make sure to tune in. Until then, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
Food for thought.
Salam and heartiest congratulations to you all on the auspicious day of Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice, in commemoration of God's acceptance of Abraham's sincere intentions and the saving of Ishmael from being slaughtered. If you're ready, here is a beautiful saying to contemplate upon from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him. A day on which a person abstains from sin is indeed a day of Eid or rejoicing for him or her.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The Light.
In the U.S., creative designers are trying to raise awareness about the environmental issues in a fun and playful way. A climate change-themed mini golf course has recently opened to public in New York City. It consists of 18 holes, each one featuring an environmental problem or a potential solution like habitat loss, energy efficiency, and emissions. Designed by local artist, the course is made with recycled materials.
Climate change and the environment are such important topics right now, and important issues that faces all of us now and will face us in future generations. So by bringing the environmental issues to the forefront in a fun, playful way like mini golf, it really sparks the conversation and helps folks understand the scope of the issue.
Visitors have welcomed the idea, saying it's both entertaining and educational. Organizers say all of the money made from the golf course will go to two local environmental groups. Let's go to Ukraine to meet the world's oldest tennis player, who has been playing the sport for over half a century. Leonid Stanislavski, now 97 years old, has competed in various world championships. When he was a 30-year-old gymnast, he started training tennis three times a week. The Guinness World Record holder is now practicing for the 2021 Super Seniors World Championship, which will be held in Mallorca, Spain. Stanislavski believes that people can play tennis at any age.
It's an elegant type of sport. It's good physical exercise. It is a beautiful game, and there is one more thing about tennis. You can play tennis no matter what age you are.
The world's oldest tennis player revealed his secret to a long life, a combination of good genes and regular sport. His goal is to live to 100 years old and take on prominent tennis player Roger Federer. The old athlete also wishes to make a parachute jump. The largest museum in the world dedicated to the study of space has made its debut in Shanghai, China. Inspired by the orbits of celestial bodies, the layout of the building has no straight lines or right angles. The museum, designed by New York-based Anid Architects, is intended to create an immersive experience for visitors to engage in a real astronomical phenomenon. For instance, visitors can take a trip into a starry night in the optical planetarium theater.
What we aim to create is a real environment for people to look up to the starry sky. To achieve this goal, we've installed a high-precision planetarium projector at the center of the theater, which can project the sharp spots of stars on the screen with countless optical fibers. The demonstration effects are very vivid.
After moving through the museum's galleries and curved hallways, the final area visitors pass through is the sky space of the Inverted Dome. The viewing area of the Inverted Dome is about reducing almost all separation between people and the stars. The opening follows a five-year construction process in the city's Lingang district.
French artist has created a huge cardboard installation in the shape of a hanging bridge. The artwork is 18 meters in length and hovers above Rome's Tiber River with the help of three gigantic helium-filled balloons. Olivier, who created the work, was inspired by famous Italian Renaissance architect and sculptor Michelangelo. The Italian master had been tasked with the constructing a bridge on Tiber to connect the gardens of the Villa Farnesina to the Farnese Palace. However, he died before he could complete the venture. Now Michelangelo's mission has been accomplished centuries after his demise by one of his admirers. Every year, a lot of animals lose their life due to various kinds of accidents, but some of them are lucky enough to get a second chance. Perseus, the Greek cat, is one of them. The stray feline was taken to a vet in the city of Larissa last year after a terrible accident. The vets had to perform three surgeries, but Perseus lost the same number of limbs. However, he managed to stay alive and was given prosthetic legs. Perseus has adapted perfectly to his new limbs and now uses them to get around. He has also managed to snatch the heart of his saviors as visitors at the clinic where he cured have grown. The Japanese art collective has created a mesmerizing environment in a forest where nature and technology come together. In the mountains of Kyushu in southern Japan, the nature comes to life after the dark. Flowers and trees are illuminated in a glowing ripple shine, while rocks turn colorful with light installations. A waterfall made of light pours gently on a bright rock. Some rocks have calligraphy, and artificial pond projects colorful fish too. The artists behind the work say their aim is to unite technology and nature.
The thing is, sometimes people think it's a digital and nature is completely it's an against each other. But in the same time, we think it's in the digital and the nature is it's quite easy to get merged.
The Japanese team also wants to raise awareness about the original beauty of the nature, which they say is often ignored. To remind people of that, they hold exhibitions combining projections, sound, and carefully designed spaces. So far, the group has organized several art shows of this kind. animals have been providing protection and service to people since time immemorial. They have not only been the source of food like meat, butter and milk, but also saved humans by eating plants toxic to them. Authorities in New York City have taken 24 goats from a nearby farm to the Riverside Park in Manhattan to munch on invasive weeds. They say it's an environmentally friendly win-win for the species removal at the park. The goats get to feast on overgrown bush, and Riverside Park Conservancy doesn't have to dump harsh chemicals on weeds. Park officials say it's both healthy for the goats and good for the environment.
As part of our woodland restoration initiative, 2 years ago, we unleashed a very hungry group of goats into a stretch of the park that had been overrun with invasive plants. And wow, did they exceed expectations. We called it Gotham because we put the goat in Gotham. They chowed down on Japanese knotweed. They noshed on porcelain berry. They snacked on multiflora rose. They easily traversed the hard-to-reach terrain behind me and gulped down poison ivy without even giving it a second thought. Since goats are naturally effective weed whackers, putting them to work in Gotham is like treating them to an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's healthy for the goats, and it's good for the environment. That's farm to table.
People visiting the goats at the zoo say these animals are emotionally intelligent and connect with people. Goats are an ingenious approach to weed removal, eating species dangerous to humans like poison ivy. Of the 24 goats, 5 will call Riverside Park its home through the end of August. For some others, the public can vote to determine which goat will be crowned the greatest of all time. The winner will be announced by the end of the summer.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Singapore unveils one of the world's biggest floating solar panel farms in a bid for quadrupling its solar energy production by 2025. The farm is as big as 45 football fields. It includes 122,000 solar panels. The panels are designed to last for 25 years, and drones will be used to assist with maintenance. The farm is located on a reservoir in western Singapore and will generate enough electricity to power its 5 water treatment plants. It puts Singapore among the few countries in the world with a water treatment system fully powered by green energy. The farm can reduce Singapore's carbon emissions by 32,000 tons annually. Floating solar panels perform up to 15% better than conventional rooftop panels. That's because of the cooling effect of water and that shading from other buildings does not affect them. Singapore is currently developing 4 other floating solar panel projects. Maybe kittens are considered the cutest baby animals by many of us, but just wait to see this baby hippo, which was born during a full moon. The male cub was born in a Mexican zoo last month. He weighs 30 kilos upon birth. Since then, he has spent most of his time bonding with his mother. The vets in the zoo say he is healthy, playful, strong, and a bit hyperactive. They say some of his habits are surprisingly similar to that of a horse or a dolphin. Generally, reproduction among zoo hippos is not a common practice. Therefore, newborn calves are signs of high quality of the lives and habitats of their parents. A zoo in central France is welcoming the birth of a male giraffe after 15 months of waiting. The colt is named after Melman, the giraffe character in the Madagascar movie franchise. He was born on Sunday in a Bouval Zoo park. He is 170 centimeters tall and weighs 55 kilograms. Zookeepers say Melman is a special baby.
A giraffe birth here. It's our second birth since we've had the group of females established for a few years. So for us, it's still quite an important and exceptional event because it's not every day that we have a giraffe birth.
The giraffe keepers say Melman stood on his feet for the first time 45 minutes after being born. Since zoos have opened in France, visitors can enjoy seeing little Melman playing around with his mother. The birth of the baby giraffe is good news for wildlife preservation, as according to estimates, the number of the animal in the wild has dropped by about 30% since the 1980s.
The issue of marine trash has long worried scientists and environmentalists. Now a French engineer has invented a robot to help clean ocean waste. The Jellyfish Bot is a remote-controlled electric-powered boat that helps clean rubbish from the surface of the water. It's 70 centimeters long and 70 wide, almost the size of a suitcase. The robot can collect everything from plastic bottles to masks and even oil and petrol. Despite its wide-ranging utility, Jellyfish Bot has a rather simple mechanism.
To collect trash, you have to do something as simple as possible, because otherwise, if we put too complicated mechanisms, it can get blocked and things can get stuck in the system. We designed the robot with a slide mechanism that goes towards a net, so we fill up the net, we take back the net, and that's the end of it.
The trash collecting robot is being used at around 15 ports in France, lightening the workload of local cleaners. It has also been exported to countries including Japan, Norway, and Singapore. The makers have also developed an autonomous version of the boat.
Malaysians at a vaccination center in the city of Kuching have witnessed a surprising scene. A T-Rex turned up to get his COVID-19 jab. Fitness instructor Kenny Sia dressed up in a dinosaur costume to amuse people, doesn't he look fabulous, and protect himself. Sia said he made the decision to lift up the spirits of frontline health workers is exhausted by vaccinating over 5,000 people a day. People rushed to take pictures with him, hailing his appearance and historic. Funny. A giant 3D cat has risen to fame in the Japanese capital, Tokyo, bringing joy to citizens amid the COVID-19 pandemic. A massive billboard featuring the cat has been installed in one of Tokyo's busiest districts. The realistic-looking cat on a 4K resolution screen appears every few minutes between advertisements. Depending on the time of day, the cat appears differently and sometimes meowing at people walking by. The companies that set up the billboard hope that they can cheer people up during the dark era of the coronavirus pandemic. The display has already caused a frenzy in the city and among the social platforms, with many expressing joy and amazement at the technology.
Peru is full of natural wonders worthy of appreciation in each of its regions. A zoo in the capital Lima has now unveiled an incredibly cute and adorable Andean alpaca calf to attract visitors amid dwindling zoo goers due to the coronavirus pandemic. This fairy baby alpaca named Paquita is just 1 month old and was introduced to the public on the eve of the 200th anniversary of Peru's independence from Spain. The zoo has also displayed its families of llamas, alpaca, and vicuña. The three are members of South American camelids' biological family and are traditionally valued for their soft and warm wool. They live in the Andes Mountains, which lay thousands of meters above sea level. Peruvians are proud of the history of wolves associated with these species, which have common ancestors with camels.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salam. May Allah's peace be upon all of you on this great day. Today is Eid al-Qurban, Eid al-Azha. Happy Eid to all of you. Today is the greatest celebration of man's liberation from the temptation of devil. At first, we open the calendar. Today, Wednesday, is the 10th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer our congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world on the great Eid al-Adha.
Muslims unite to worship Allah. It's a time of brotherhood, a time of peace. Muslims are singing praises to Allah.
Eid al-Adha, the feast of sacrifice. Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice, is celebrated by Muslims all over the world as a major holiday. Muslims usually wear new clothes and some exchange gifts while children are entertained. When asked about the origin of Eid al-Adha, the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, is reported to have said, "It is a tradition that has come down to us from Prophet Ibrahim." The Feast of Sacrifice dates from the historic events when Prophet Ibrahim was commanded by Allah in a form of a dream vision to sacrifice his son Ismail. But while he was in the case of sacrificing his son, Allah sent the angel Gabriel with a huge ram. Gabriel informed Abraham that his dream vision was fulfilled and instructed him to sacrifice the ram as a ransom for his son. This story is mentioned in chapter 37 of the Holy Quran. Eid al-Adha enjoys a special significance because the day of sacrifice marks the climax of Hajj or pilgrimage. This annual pilgrimage to Mecca and Medina is an obligation only for those men and women who are physically and financially able to perform it once in their lifetime. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, accept our congratulations on the great Eid al-Adha. Happy Eid to all of you.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasin. Eid al-Adha al-Mubarak, I mean in English it's called the Greater Bayram, is one of the feasts, important feasts in Islamic calendar. At the same time, it must be indicated that offering sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a history in other religions. In other religions, particularly in Abrahamic faiths and religions and denominations, we find that offering sacrifice makes part and parcel of certain religious rites and rituals. And in Islam, offering such sacrifice is highly recommended, particularly on the day of the Greater Bayram, I mean Eid al-Adha al-Mubarak, on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. It must be indicated that the sacrifice, for example, sheep or other kinds of animals whose flesh can be eaten, when Hajis sacrifice them, they must intend to do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never in need of receiving anything from the blood or flesh of those sacrificed animals. Thank you.
نبلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدوهم يا عساهم عايدين.
The Virtues of Eid al-Adha. This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special on the great occasion of Eid al-Adha. According to a hadith, the Prophet said, "The greatest day of the year in Allah's eyes is the day of sacrifice." As per another hadith, the Prophet said that day of sacrifice is the greatest day of Hajj. This is because several important actions of the yearly pilgrimage take place on this day. Besides the sacrifice itself, people stone the jamarah, shave or cut their hair, and offer tawaf and sa'i. Eid al-Adha is a time for Muslims to remember the sacrifice of Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, giving up something as massive as one's own child, all for the sake of Allah, is not something everyone is capable of. His actions should inspire us, and always resolve to obey Allah no matter what, as he did. We have no excuse not to obey him. Additionally, we must also remember that we do not always know what is the best for us. We must trust in Allah because he is the all-knowing. The sacrifice of Eid al-Adha is not because Allah needs sacrifice. It's because we need the reward and benefit of the sacrifice. The recommended division is one-third apiece for yourself, family, and friends, and the poor, of course. The immense amount of the sacrifice that we given in charity annually strengthens the poor and the needy of our community and provides them with some happiness. Additionally, it increases our share of good deeds too. Thousands of congratulations on our great Eid, Eid al-Adha.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate.
Celebrating Eid al-Adha in 2021. Dear friend, the ongoing coronavirus pandemic has impacted people all over the world in many ways, and there is no doubt that it will change this festival as well. The first thing to consider is that many Muslims can opt for performing sacrifice through charitable organization. Often many believers go and buy their preferred animals themselves and then have them sacrifice. However, that may not be easily possible in the current circumstances. Charitable organizations carry out the sacrifice on their own and take the payment for the animal and sacrifice. It is vital for people to adhere to the local guidelines and to take precautions. The coronavirus pandemic has taken the lives of hundreds of thousands of people so far and continues to affect people unabated. Hence, if Muslims need to forego meeting with others and celebrating, then they must do so. We can only perform any activities with adequate social distancing.
The sanctity of life is paramount, and we cannot take COVID-19 lightly. Even if our celebration of Eid al-Adha is dampened, we should remember the spirit of the occasion. We must keep the less fortunate in our minds. We should look to give as much charity as possible in order to help out others who are affected, especially in our own communities.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj brings our attention to a very important point. Because as you know, Eid al-Adha, the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, falls during the Hajj season, where pilgrims have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them in the land of Arafah. Then they go to Mina, where the animals are sacrificed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Hajj, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. It states that there are signs that believers glorify. These signs bring you to taqwa and piety, to be mindful of the Almighty God, to be successful human beings. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of these signs. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا لِيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. Allah has given rituals to all nations, to all previous religions. And one of those rituals is to thank the Almighty God for the blessings of the cattle that He's given to them, the livestock, the sheep, the cow, and the camel. The Holy Quran makes a reference to this. وَالْبُدْنَ جَعَلْنَاهَا مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Even the camels, we've made them as signs that take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every year the pilgrims, they sacrifice millions of sheep at the Hajj. Of course, unfortunately this year, there is no full Hajj season. And when you look at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this state, it's very difficult and heavy upon our hearts. And we truly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift this affliction. But how are these signs that bring us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Historically, in all previous religions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandated that they would offer a sacrifice. So during the Jewish nations, they would bring their sacrifice to the temple and they would have it sacrificed there. This trains the human being to sacrifice and be charitable. That's the spirit of Eid al-Adha. Think of others, sacrifice, give. Even in times of difficulty, in times of uncertainty, give. Today there are many people who are having anxiety because of this pandemic situation, because of COVID-19. There's a lot of uncertainty. What's going to happen tomorrow, next month? What's going to happen with our economy? What's going to happen with our children? What's going to happen with all of that? These are times of uncertainty. But it is in times of uncertainty that Allah tries you. That's when you show your true colors. That's when you show your sacrifice. We saw two types of people during this crisis. One type, all they did was want to hoard. Me and my family. That's it. I don't care about the rest of the world. And whatever cash I got, and many people got a lot of cash the last few months, right? Let me spend it on myself. That's why if you go to some stores, you don't find anything. The shelves are empty. People are just spending like crazy. And then there are other people, they started to think of others. There are others who are more suffering around the world. What am I doing to alleviate their suffering and pain? That's the spirit of sacrifice, my dear brothers and sisters.
Dear friend, thank you very much. You were with us till the last moments of today's special from IRIB English Radio on the great occasion of Eid al-Adha. Again, we congratulate all of you on this auspicious day. Have a nice time.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.